This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Having a very tough principal here in secondary school, a man that everybody's afraid of. You can say to tomorrow that, Mr. So-and-so is a very tough principal, disciplinarian, this and that, beats everybody. When you see him, you run. But that's not a relationship. That's not a relationship. That is, you are describing somebody you fear, somebody that is terrorizing you. And so such a person is difficult for you to walk up to discuss your issues with, to cry on his shoulders, to make some good jokes with, to make good memories, to banter with. It's not somebody that can carry you on his laps and hug you. That's somebody that inspires fear in you. And that is how some people, that is the placement they have for God. For some others, they treat God the way people treat irresponsible fathers. They know there is a God, but they just ignore him. You know, I know there are some people among us here, and I'm praying that God heals such people who do not have any good relationship with their father. I know children who have not spoken with their dad in 10 years, 15 years. And they give all sorts of excuses for it. Some will say, well, my father did not take care of us when we were young. My father did this to my mother. My father did this to my this. And so that has already re-channeled, repositioned their father in their minds. And as a result of that, when they are talking to God too, they treat God like that. They know he exists, but they would rather not go near his space. You know, they give him that distant, cold shoulder. He exists, but we shouldn't disturb each other. And then some have this relationship with God that is warm, congenial. But the only way they can have that is through Jesus. You can't have a relationship with God directly. You know, Jesus said that no one shall come to the Father except through him or by him. Which is why I'm saying that have you found your place in Jesus, not have you found your place in God. If you're ever going to find your place in God, it is in Jesus that you find your place in God. It is him. It is him. So you can't have, I spoke with God. When people say that, I laugh. You know, we speak with the Holy Spirit. He's the one. He's the representative of Jesus Christ in us. But many of us, we know, because we interchange those words. You say, I had a conversation with God. I remember there was a book, Conversations with God, and they made a movie of it, and I watched it. And I was so moved when I was watching it. I cried a lot because this person was a homeless guy who went through a very tough time in life. And then one day, as he was about to pick leftover pizza from a dumpster, he suddenly began to hear a voice. And the voice was telling him about life, about cosmos, about everything. And he sat down and he began to write. And he wrote the whole manuscript. And he sent it to a publisher. The publisher read it and the publisher began to weep. They published the book. The book became an international bestseller. This guy, for me, nobody, became a multimillionaire overnight. And a lot of people bought into his book and they were talking about him. So I read the book. I bought the book. I read it. And then, as I was looking at the comments, I saw the guy was saying that no, God has nothing to do with Jesus. It was God he meant directly. He didn't mean Jesus. He's not a Christian. He met God directly. God speaks to him directly. I lost interest in the book immediately. Because you could as well be speaking with the devil for all I care. You cannot speak with God directly. It has to be through the Lord Jesus. And a lot of us, we do not understand or see that in the right way as we should. So because of this, we jumble things together. I've seen a lot of Americans. I'll meet them, we sit down, we talk. And then they'll be talking to me about God. And sometimes they pray. They don't even mention Jesus. They just pray. And then they jump to God. I'll be like, no wonder your life is like this. Because I'll say, hey, no. You didn't pray right. You can't say, Father, we thank you for this meal. Amen. Ah. What is wrong with you? What is Father, thank you for this meal? Amen. What was that? You see, you are talking to the Father directly. I say, okay. I know that you can do that, but that is why your prayers will get answered. You guys want to go to the Father directly. You have no right. You have no answer. You have no access. It is in Christ that you have a place. Christ has a place in God. You see, it is in Christ. The city we dwell in is called Zion. That is the capital of heaven. If you have never imagined it before, I'm saying it to you. That's why I said you should find your place. So there is heaven, and in heaven, there are so many beings. It's not just saints, it's not for human beings alone. And the categories of angels that we have are more than the categories of men. You know, when I say categories of men, I'm talking about all our races, different races, Caucasian, Negro, and all that. We have different colors and we have different looks and all that. That is also the same way that angels are. Angels are also numbered according to their classes. And many of us don't know this. We just assume angels are. The diversity we see on the earth is the same diversity that we have in heaven. You have to understand that. So the heaven is just not just some angels, all of them are looking the same. No, they are diverse, numerous kinds. Just like we are also diverse in our numbers and in our makeup. But in heaven, there was no place for man. God did not create heaven for human beings. The Bible says, the earth, Psalm 8, the earth he has given to the sons of men. So this world, this is our inheritance in God. This is our inheritance, this world. The heavens belong to the angels and all of God's beings. I can mention so many of their names, but you can recite them yourself. But all of them have different categories and diverse nature, and they all dwell in the heavens. And there is no place, there was never a plan for man to dwell in heaven with God. There is nothing like that in the Bible. There is nothing like that. Also, there was no space for angels and demons to dwell on the earth. It was not allowed. That's why we cast out demons anyhow. It is because they don't belong here. Their world is underneath the earth. Everybody got their space. Angels dwell in heaven with God dwell in the realm of glory. Angels dwell in heaven. Men dwell on the earth, and bad spirits dwell underneath the earth. That is the positioning and classification. And God is God in the realm of glory, in heaven, on this earth, and even underneath the earth. All the demons in this world, Jesus is their head. God is their head. The devil does not have any the way people that are not learned always think is like God and the demons are on one side. The devil and the demons are on one side. God and angels are on the other side. They are not fighting each other. If you have that kind of a picture, you don't know the Bible. God created all beings. So therefore, God has no enemy at all. At all. There's nobody that can say, I want to go and fight God. Never. God has no enemy. God is supreme over all. That's why the Bible says in the book of I believe Philippians, I remember now, is it 2:11? And it was talking about Jesus, and he said, therefore, God has given him that he humbled himself, allowed himself to be killed on the cross. Therefore, God has lifted him, elevated him, and given him a name that is above every other name. And he said, by the virtue of that name and the authority God gave him, everything in heaven, on earth, and underneath there, did you see that they didn't put the realm of glory where God dwell? They didn't. They didn't say in the realm of glory. Nobody, God will not kneel down to Jesus. So they didn't put the realm where God dwelt there. But they said in heaven, all the angels, Revelation chapter 5, all the angels in their diversity and category, from the cherubs to the seraph to the archangels, all of them, they fall to their knees at the presence of Jesus. On the earth, all of us, when Jesus comes in, we fall on our faces. Underneath the earth, all the demons, including Lucifer, when Jesus comes in, all of them fall to their face. They cannot resist. They cannot fight. They can't do anything. For the power of the source of creation dwells in Christ. So God and the devil are not opposites. However, within their domain, all of them try to assert influence because God has given everybody the room to operate within their own domain, which is why we now have angels and demons sometimes having confrontations and issues, fighting over territories, fighting over men, trying to increase their numbers and ranking because of their history. But God is the Father over all. However, in Christ, Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place that wherever I am, you may be there also. So it was Jesus that prepared a place for us. So that's why the Bible says, in him we live, we dwell, and have our being. He didn't say in God, in Christ. See? So we are the offsprings of Christ, children of the world. And once you know that, you have express understanding of where you belong. You know you are safe in Christ. That's why it says, nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ, neither height nor depth, nor principality, nor power, nor this or that. So we know that we are in Christ. Now, many of us who are in Christ, we do not know our place. We do not behave the way we should. It is like being in your father's house and not knowing how to act. I've seen people like that. Maybe their mother is no longer with their father. And so they were brought to live with their father. And even though they know this is their dad, they feel out of place because the father has married another wife and there are children. And so they don't want to offend the new wife. And yet they cannot find their place in their own father's house. And some of them, their fathers didn't even make it easy for them to really integrate. They just felt they should just fit in. But I've spoken with one or two of such people, and I know how they feel. not having a place, even though they ought to have a place, not having a voice, even though they ought to have a voice. So they feel as if they don't really belong. And some of them, you see them getting into relationships that they shouldn't get into early, trying to find their own place. Yeah, I know you understand me. So some of them at 18, 19, 20, the first boy that comes to say hello, they want to marry the person. They would put all their love, even though the person would break their heart. And the reason for that was because when the person does not feel, when you don't have a place, the first thing that comes to mind is to have your own place. When I meet orphans, those who grew up in orphanages or who grew up with people who don't have fathers and parents, or when I meet children that are the only children of their father, that affects them too, that they are the only child. You will see their clamor, the thirst they will have in their heart to have a family they can call their own, to belong to a family. They want to start a family. They want to have children. So when other people are talking about career, this, I want to do that, I want to do that. Their own is, I just want to find somebody to love me. I just want to have my own children. I just want to raise my own children. Why? Because when I was growing up, I didn't have a family. Grew up in an orphanage, you know, there is nobody to love, nobody wanted me. So when you speak with them, you realize that that psychological gap stare, they didn't have the love of a father, the pleasure of family, of growing up with among people that you call siblings, who love you, who you love, who you can play with, fight with, argue with, you know, celebrate with. They didn't have all that. So even though they belong in a family, in quotes, they are not really in a family. So they are neither here nor there. And therefore, it affects how they see the world. And some of us are born again Christians, and this is exactly how we behave, like orphans. Like, you know, when the word used that we have the spirit of adoption. It was Apostle Paul that came up with that term. He was adopted sons. And the reason he came up with that term was because he was a Jew. And the Jews had always believed that they had the right of firstborn or sole born, only child to God, because the revelation of God came to them first. So they've always believed that they had the monopoly of God. And they didn't want to share. They didn't want to share with other people. They wanted us all to follow whatever we are following, but they didn't want to share their God with us. So when Moses came up with the law and other things, it was very exclusive to them. They do not want unbelievers at all. They did not try to spread Judaism. They didn't try to make people know their God. In fact, it was almost forbidden for a Jew to share his faith with an unbeliever. They don't even mingle with unbeliever. They don't talk to unbeliever. They don't go to the house of unbeliever. They don't make friends with unbeliever. They made it so difficult to export God. They just wanted to keep God to themselves alone. That was what was happening in the whole of the Old Testament. So when people are quoting the Testament now, or these pastors, I laugh at them because they don't really know scripture. They don't understand that many of those things we had we were not included in the plan at all. The only time that God tried to bring in those from other nations into Judaism. They are in the Bible. In Babylon, God tried to introduce himself to the entire nation through the three Hebrews, also in Babylon through Daniel, in Medes and Persia through Esther. God tried, you know, to use his simple elements, his children, to sell himself to a world outside of Israel. But the Israelites were very conservative. As soon as they got out of exile, they just took their God with them. And they put their God back in Israel and they closed their door. Even till today, many of them don't still have or want anything to do with Christians or Christian beliefs. Some of them believe that Christians do not know anything about God. And they have a very strong opinion of this, in the way they think and behave. So when Apostle Paul was trying to convince the early Jews about Christianity, about us, Apostle Paul couldn't put us in the same category with them. So you see when he was speaking in Ephesians, he said, God has divided the wall of partition. You see those words? He said, now there is neither Greek nor Jew. What was he trying to say? He was trying to say that we are now the same. All. We are now equals. All of us are now children of God. But the Jews would reject that. So Apostle Paul came up with, these are adopted sons. Okay, adopted sons. You see the difference. So he realized that the Jews will not accept that all of us are equals. They will be like, no, you mean that this main guy is also born again and he can talk to God directly and we are now the same thing? No. So Apostle Paul was like, okay, you must find a place for these Gentiles who are now believers. Since they can't be Jews, then we are going to call them adopted sons. And then that is heels. And then he called the Jews technon, children that were born directly from a father. So they were biological children. We were adopted children. But to be candid, to know if you know the scriptures, if you look at the book of John chapter 1, you will see where it was clearly written by John that children of God are not born of biology. He said, children are not born of the will of a father, of a husband's will, but born of God. You see? So technically, there is supposed to be no technon, there's supposed to be no heels. All of us are supposed to be sons. And there's not supposed to be any greater son or younger son. No. We are all born of God. You must have this in your mind. See, no matter what you're going through, so a lot of us, we use our personal life condition to measure whether we are right with God or not. So if you are suffering, you're like, God does not like me. Now, if you have money, you say God likes me. Imagine that that's how we qualify our earthly father. Imagine many of us, you say, if I had this poor, you know my father, you deny your father. You say, my father, who is that on the bicycle? No, I don't know him. Is that not your daddy? No, he's not my daddy. I don't know him. And then you see another person's father riding G-Wagon. Say, hey, that person is my daddy. Children that do that, they may think that they are impressing their friends. But really, they are trying to tell you that it is material things that they are using to qualify their father. That is not how we are supposed to see God. You see, the song I played before we started the class was saying that let it not be said that I will not praise the Lord. I will praise him in the morning, in the afternoon, in the night. There's no condition that can take away the praise of God from my mouth. Now, when we say there's no condition, what do we mean? God does not have any condition. It is human beings that are faced with diverse kinds of conditions. And so they are the ones that when things are tough, they would withhold their praise. They would say, God has not done anything for me. In the last 10 years, he didn't give me a husband. He didn't give me a wife. He didn't give me a child. They've not found their place. When a Christian, a child of God, has found his place in Christ, material things would never matter. He would know how to abound and how to abase. Those things that he knows he has power over, he will not blame God for them. And then, no matter what happened, yesterday, Sister Choma was talking about a particular incident during Wedding Tongue Fest, and we could hear her voice, the joy, even though what happened was tragic. Her father came through, healed her, See, and brought out of it. And that is how God is to all of us who have found our place in Him. If you have found your place in Jesus, you will not doubt your faith. You will not doubt your salvation. You will not doubt the love of God for you. You will not pray because things are good or things are not good. Things will always be good. Once you find your place, you have found your center. Things will always be good. Once you have located yourself in Christ and you know who you are in Him, all things are yours. Don't forget. But you are the one that will find your place. You are the one that will find your place. If you read the book of Psalm 24, you will see that Jesus Christ led all the saints to heaven after the resurrection. But do you know that they had to find their place? Just to not handpick you, I'm saying, oh, this is the place. No. They had to find their place. Faith is always a personal thing. Have you found your place in Jesus? Have you found your place in Jesus? So the song I played earlier, talking about how I have found my place in Jesus, came out of that thinking. I sent the wordings to some of the schools and the music too. And the reason I did that was so that you can know it is a personal thing. It is in Christ that you find your place. Once you find a place in Jesus, oh my God, no, nobody can shake you. You know, it's like you build a nest or you build a house. Imagine that finally you buy a plot of land and you build a house. And in your previous place, maybe you are renting a house, so the landlord can just give you vacate this house or rent increase or pay for this, pay for that. A landlord can do whatever he likes to you because it is not your place. But when you find your place, you rest. Imagine that sisters will understand this, that you are looking to get married. So you dated this person, but you didn't just feel right, so you walked away. You dated somebody else, you didn't feel right, you walked away. When you now met your own husband, you now found your place. You know, that confidence, that I've come to sit. A Christian must have that feeling in their heart, in their walk with the Lord, that I've come to the place of my rest. I've found Rehoboth. I've found my place in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. You know, you must find your own place, a place of rest in Christ, where nothing can shake you. When you have that, you will not be running from one pastor to one imam. You will not be running a tasketa. You will not be having bad dreams anymore. Nobody can attack you. You have found your place. You will know in your heart, I'm safe and secure. I found my place in Jesus. So as we celebrate Father's Day today, this is my message to you. Please find your place in Christ. It is when you find your place in Christ that you are secure in the Father. That is when you are secure in the fullness of God's love. That is when you can sit down and begin to reap the sheaves in rest, and you will stop all forms of labor. I pray for all fathers today that your children shall be taught of the Lord and they will give you great peace. That your wives will see you as pillars that you are, and that you will bear your fruits aplenty. I declare that all homes are blessed. All the unmarried fathers, I declare, as long as you desire to marry, the Lord will build your home. You will experience goodness, mercy, and grace all the days of your life. Thank you, Father, because you've preserved all our fathers in the house and you have given them long life, prosperity, and what it takes to be responsible and responsive fathers. We bless your name and we ask that you continue to keep them, guide them, and help them to bear all the fruits that you have given them to bear in you. For in Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please submit and shout, Glory! Glory!
Glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.